It should start here in a second.
Okay, welcome. I'd like to call to order the Independent Oversight Committee for Arizona State Hospital. And today is February 20th, 2020. It is now 6:06 p.m. and we have met quorum. This is a remote meeting tonight. And we do have members present. Myself, Lori Goldstein, Chair, Natalie Trainer, Leon Canty, Alice Klein, and Dee Putty. We have a known absence of Ashley Otto and Rebecca Casper. And then we do have some units on. If you want your name in the meeting minutes, I know we have Saguaro on with three people. We have Timothy, and Timothy, if you want your name mentioned in the meeting minutes, let us know or not. And same with Nicholas. Let us know if you want your name in the minutes or not.
Yes, please. That's fine.
Yes, Timothy, I would like them, ma'am.
Okay.
Do you mind telling me your first and last
Thank
name
you.
If you want your name in the notes?
Timothy Briesco. And I'm on Sycamore Unit on the forensic
Okay,
side of that.
Nick Oaks at Mojave.
Okay, anyone else? Okay, let's go ahead and get started. Do we have any, I want to welcome everyone. And do we have any disclosure of conflict of interest? Okay. If no conflict of interest, then the next action item is, did everyone have a chance to review the meeting minutes that were sent out after the last meeting?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Do I hear a motion to approve the meeting minutes?
I'll motion to approve.
I can.
Natalie.
Oh, okay. I'll second, Lori. All in favor?
Me.
Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Okay. Anyone opposed? Okay. Meetings are some approved. Now, any update from ADOA, Larry?
Oh, good evening, Lori. You know, at this time, there really is not any updates as of yet. I would expect some. A couple updates at the next meeting, but for this meeting, no, I do not.
Okay, thank you. And while you're actively engaged right now, we wanted some clarification on a conflict of interest as it pertains to members visiting a unit. We had a unfortunate situation where two of our committee members were planning a forensic visit. There were two patients that wanted to be visited, and they conducted the first visit, and the two committee members were known to the ASH committee, and I think you were copied also at ADOA. And then when they went to visit the second person on forensic unit, they were told that they could not visit, that it was a conflict of interest. So I was notified, and then I called administration, and I said, I'm perplexed. It's not like the person was going to visit their family member. So I didn't see it as a conflict of interest. And they said that they thought it was pretty clear that it would be a conflict of interest if they visited the same unit, even if not a family member. So what do you think as far as, did you understand that the person with a family member is not allowed to visit the unit?
Well, that's a good question. And right off the bat, off the top of my head, I would think that would probably be a conflict of interest. Just due to the nature of whoever was doing the on-site visit, knowing people, other patients that are in that unit. So it could cause some issues there, I would think. I don't know, has ASH administration said anything to you else? Have they produced any kind of policy or procedure on that or any rules to that effect? I have not seen any.
No, they just told me that they thought it was clear that, and I said, I don't think it was clear to us, or we wouldn't have, you know, that's one. And two, we wished they would have noticed that and told us earlier, because we could have kind of scrambled to get someone else over there. But we did, after that, we did do a second visit a few days later. Alice and I were able to swing back by. But it was unfortunate because the member drives 2 hours to come to Phoenix. I mean,
okay,
at least she's able to visit with one. But in the future, if we know that these are the restrictions, that they cannot go on the unit where their loved or their family member is, then we'll plan accordingly.
Yes, and I will get some clarification for you on that. And, you know, I do apologize about that. I know your time is valuable, and you donate your time to this effort. So my apologies, and we will work forward to make sure that doesn't happen again.
Thank you. Okay, the next was review of action items. We really didn't have any action items after the last meeting. And I think at the end for new business, there's something that popped in my head, but I forgot to put it on the agenda so we can talk about it next month. And that had to do with when we had that wonderful educational session with Access on the grievance and appeals process. We made it to be, it was a education portion, so anyone that was in attendance and anyone on the units could have participated and asked questions, breaking typical protocol of our meetings, but that wasn't understood. So I'm sorry. So there was some questions after that, but we'll talk about it, put it on the agenda next time. As far as subcommittee reports, as the education, you know, we're working to see if I can get some foundations to fund education in Arizona State Hospital. So whether it's forensic or civil, if someone would like to further their education by either doing a GED, community college, or ASU, we're looking to get philanthropic funding to do that. The issues I've run into, because I have interest, they wanted some stats and numbers of how many people have gone to school while at the hospital, have they attained a certificate, a degree. And I think the rehab group is the one that manages that and facilitates that. And when they asked them for some numbers, they hadn't kept track, which is unfortunate because most of the foundations want to see numbers. I did meet with someone today, and I just laid it on the table saying, well, we don't have any records of how successful it's been, so I understand if you're reluctant to donate a lot of money, but maybe we'll start small with a little pilot. So that's my next approach. And they did not say no. They said, let's talk. Let's have lunch in 2 weeks and discuss. So I won't give up, but that was good. Ashley also had some success with STAR. STAR was interested in coming on campus and doing peer support and running groups. Their big issue is they need funding. Again, so Ashley was going to try to work on seeing if we could get some donations to fund that as well. If successful, then we have to engage with the rehabilitation group to coordinate and get them back into onto the campus. Okay.
Great. That sounds good.
It's a work in progress. We're working on it.
A step in the right direction. Yeah,
that sounds great. That's wonderful.
Yeah. So on the overview, incidents and accident reports, so the first one that I wrote myself some little notes here. So the first one was They all start with 2020, Natalie. And this one is 2020, yeah. And it's 0232.
Uh huh.
And on that one, I'm looking up. There was an incident, and it was on the forensic side. It's interesting because we generally don't see as much activity over there. It's usually the civil side that has more of the incidents and accidents. But on this particular occasion, it was on the forensic side, and there was an incident patient, another patient. And because of that, they did transfer the person from one unit to another. So I thought that was good that once it was shown that there was an issue between two individuals, which required medical attention, they went ahead and transferred the person to another unit. So that's I'm happy that they got their medical attention taken care of, and I'm glad that they separated by different units. So to me, that was a good
avoid future conflict.
Yeah. Yes. And then we had another one again on the forensic unit, which I was a little surprised. And this one, it appeared it was another patient that had a conflict and with another patient, and it appeared
on the notes,
and again, that was 0303.
Okay, thank you.
And it occurred during the sleeping hours, and they heard screaming, and when they went in, there was an altercation, and on that time, they also transferred, but this time it said transferred to another room, and so I was asking the administration. I didn't know people shared rooms. I've never been in that. And they confirmed that the patient was transferred again away, so there was no future conflict between the two individuals. So that was good.
Lori, am I able to interject a question?
Uh-huh.
Or is that for later? Okay.
No.
So one of the things that I'm understanding is that sometimes the person who did not start the conflict ends up being at times removed from the unit and put on another unit. And I didn't quite understand from administration why that was done, because from what I'm getting is that it's very distressful to that person. Hey, I didn't start the conflict. Why do I have to up and move to a different unit and kind of start over on a new unit? Does that make sense?
I have asked that same question, and I also had experienced that when my son was at the hospital. And what explanation I was given is that generally when they're looking at making movements in the campus, they're trying to look holistically as a team. If I move this person here, how will that fit in? What about these dynamics? So they're trying to assess kind of at the macro level all the personalities, and, you know, we don't know, but they may have records that indicated that two individuals needed to be separated previously, so they don't want to move an individual back into a certain situation. But I wanted that clear.
Since we have, you know, patients on the line, I just also wanted that clear for them too, because I know that makes them feel, you know, like victimized, you know, and so it's good to know that that does make sense, because if that person being, removed didn't have any problems, then on the other unit, that would be the one to go. I get it. Okay. Thank you.
Hey, this is Dee. Can I say one more thing, though? And just because, you know, this has happened to us, and another aspect of them getting moved from one unit to the other is they have to start over with a whole new team.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like they're starting from square one. Like all the work that they did where they were at previously doesn't somehow even come into the mix of where they are now because they have a new team. It's like, well, we have to get to know you now. So they start over from square one.
Yeah. So that's where they feel very much punished.
I'm sorry,
do we
say
have
again?
A motion to ask? Do we have a motion to ask about the process and why is it that they could not transfer, you know, treatment notes and everything else so the person doesn't have to start over, especially if they weren't the perpetrator?
Yeah, and I think that they do send the notes over, but I just attended a treatment team meeting yesterday, and that's what I heard the team say was, well, you're mm-hmm. new to us, and we don't know you yet. You've been here 2 months, and we had to start over. So even though they think they had the documentation, it was like he was starting over from square one. And this is the second time that he's been moved since he got there. So now he's mm-hmm. been there a year and a half. He's moved twice, and he has to start all over each time.
And Dee, I'm glad you clarified, because that's a large part of what I'm talking about.
And that was a big stressor.
Starting again.
Yeah, it's a big stressor not only to be removed from your place where you haven't done anything wrong, but then to have to go mm-hmm. someplace new and start all over with staff and be separated from people that, you know, you may have befriended, and you have to move all your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
they feel punished. They feel
yeah.
punished, and
yeah.
they're not
exactly.
the perpetrator. So
I would like to make a comment about the move.
Oops,
I know that moving.
You can't make it. No, you can't make a comment until public session because,
oh, it's Leon.
I mean,
I'm sorry, it's Leon.
Going. Yeah. Oh, it's Leon. Oh, sorry, Leon. Okay, you can make a comment.
It's okay. it's not, you know, especially when a fight happens, it's not uncommon for someone to get moved to a different unit. And I understand that they have to start all over, but it's also not uncommon for moves to just happen at random sometimes. Sometimes they'll just have a move where, like, all the patients get mixed up, and you know, I almost think it's almost part of the process for patients to have to experience different clinical teams. That's almost what I thought it was when we had, you know, we had, like, maybe two great moves when I was in there. And, you know, you do have to start all over, which is a little disheartening. But at the same time, I get what you're saying. You know, when there's a fight, that's a totally different circumstance. So I definitely think we should motion to investigate and hear more about that. But in general, you know, it's not uncommon to be moved. At some point, you're going to get moved, you know, and you have to start all over in a way. And but when a fight happens, that's a different circumstance.
Well,
okay.
There was no fight in my son's situation, and I, what I have to say is that it's, to me, it seems unfair for them to have to start all over, because their goal is hopefully someday to leave the hospital and go home or go somewhere else on a conditional release. And if, you know, they put in 6-8 months and then they're moved to a new unit and basically start all over, all that time's been wasted in some ways. So
yeah, I agree. You know, especially if you didn't start the confrontation. So
no, but no, he did not, and there was no physical altercation at all. It's just that my son was the one that got moved, even though he was not the instigator.
So do I hear a motion to ask for clarity on why they have to start over, especially if they're not the perpetrator or the cause of trouble? And see what the hospital comes back with.
Alice, make that motion, please.
Okay, do I hear a second?
I second it.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Anyone? Okay.
Aye.
So moved. Okay, the next incident, we have two occurrences of a very similar thing. So the first one was incident number 0008.
Got it. Thank you.
And when I was reading this, the person was taking their shirt off and putting it around their neck, and it was self-harming to where they had to, you know, call a code and make sure that didn't happen. And then that was like on one day, and then a day later, they did it again. So, and this person was on COS every 15 minutes. So, constant observation, or was it COS every 15 minutes? Then when it happened the next time, I read in the notes, in the review notes, that they continued, the intervention was appropriate, but they, per the provider, they will continue with a voluntary jumpsuit. So they didn't. So I said, why wait? If you're worried about someone doing that and they're already on COS with staff watching them, why not do that sooner? And they said, well, that behavior has now stopped, and they voluntarily wore the jumpsuit. So that's why they didn't write it up that they had to. So it's encouraging that the person is learning to not self-harm. But that was my question to the administration. So I guess, is everyone satisfied with that answer?
I am.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's okay. A good solution.
Okay. The next one was an incident, and it's 0091. Oh, did I give you on the last one, Natalie?
I got the last 0008
one. And 0014.
Yes.
Was the follow-up.
Okay, go ahead. Oh, it was the follow-up. Thank you.
The second incident.
It was 0014?
Yes.
Great, thank
And then
you.
The next one, we're almost done. The next one was 0091, and it was an incident that someone, it was a patient that attacked another patient, and I think the guardian called and wanted, the guardian called the, I think, to ask the staff to ask their ward or their person, I'm not sure the relationship, but it seems like it may be a parent. They wanted the person convinced to press charges against the person that hit him, and the person did not want to press charges. He was happy. He did not want to move. He did not want to press charges. My question to the administration, if the person has a guardian and the guardian felt so strongly, the guardian could press charges. And they said, yes, you're right. They could have, instead of calling, asking them to ask the person. But I also understand that you don't want to force it if your ward or your son or daughter, whoever it was, did not want to. So they honored.
Yeah, maybe they didn't want the drama, or they don't want to cause problems, or they feel like,
exactly,
you know, sometimes they did something to start it that they didn't, you know, want to own up to, kind
own
of.
It. Yeah. Yeah. So I was just asking out of clarification because of the guardianship, and they said no, they could have if they wanted to, but they didn't. And then we have another incident, and this is the last one on this. Then we have two site visit reports, one that came as a letter, and then we have another visit. So this one is 0141. And this particular patient had swallowed 10 objects and ended up going to the emergency room. And they had another incident a day before or 2 days before trying to swallow a lot of objects. So my question was, you know, some of the objects I said would be difficult to take away, like a hearing aid battery. One was a shaver battery, and then a piece of sharp object, a clear object. But what they found was that they try to keep objects away, but they have some people on the unit on that side of the campus that will find anything around and try to use that and ingest it. And they work very hard to make sure that trips to the ER aren't a fun time, right? But sometimes it's, you know, you get out of the hospital, you go over there, you might be there for a while, you might get a meal, get to watch TV, you know, it's like an outing. So they try to not have that as a reward, right? So they work on a big behavior plan with this particular patient, which was the same patient I had read about, to try to not, at least if they have to go there, not have it feel like such a reward, which makes sense if you're trying to modify behavior. Right? Any questions on that one? Yes. And the other thing to note, when this particular patient goes to the ER, they were accompanied by two staff. So that means then you're two staff short, right? So that's another bit of a concern. Okay, the next one we had was a patient. We had a patient letter of concern, and had to do with management of an elderly person and maybe health mistreatment. That was also the patient that was not allowed to be visited by one of our committee members. So Alice and I went to visit this patient, and then I also have follow-up on post our visit. But Alice, do you want to explain kind of at a high level what we heard and then what we observed?
Okay. That from what I'm understanding, they've been looking at memory care for the patient for a while. And the guardian for this patient was there through the Maricopa fiduciary. And the patient seemed to be, to me, more of a, you know, a later stage dementia. So although he said, like, oh, I can use the shower on my own, and sometimes I get help. You know, he said that sometimes he feels he can do things on his own. I noticed Jackie had to physically get him for us. I watched her get him and then help him all the way to the room, as well as help him into the chair. And then again, the same thing, and then back, and I watched her sit him down in the J room. So it seemed to me, just on observation, that he did need to be guided pretty much and be helped more in entirety than he might remember or realize, if that makes sense. He had a lot of moments where, you know, he wasn't sure about things. It was my understanding that he had gotten gifts at Christmas at the party that were not appropriate. But he said that he didn't get any gifts at the Christmas party, so he didn't remember any of that. He thinks that he wasn't at his treatment team meeting, but the guardian explained that he was there. He doesn't recall his goals. He doesn't always respond to the questions when he's asked. So I know a couple times, because I do know in later term dementia, you know, their long-term recall starts to go. And I felt like, Lori, with some of the questions we asked him, the long-term was kind of gone. So, you know, as Lori, as you saw, like, I would try and ask him a little bit, you know, using some of my Spanish, because that, of course, would still be there. And I felt like we got a little bit more out of him, but he still wasn't recalling a lot of the things. And as you probably remember, like, there were many times, you know, he did have to be asked a few different times, because he just didn't seem to even comprehend our questions, even when I would use Spanish. Apparently he has problems with urinary incontinence, and he says he's not aware of what he needs to do. You know, I guess in those issues, it was reported that sometimes he sits there and he's got wet pants and, you know, people aren't available to help him. He said he's also not sure how long he's supposed to be there, what he needs to do to be released. He just kept saying when we were asking how long have you been here, he would say not too long. And I believe the guardian said 15 years. Wasn't that right, that he had been there for 15 years? But he wasn't aware. He didn't think he'd been there for long. Let's see. The patient had said yes to a lot of things about, like, have you had, a bedroom here for a while? And he'd say, I don't know. And he didn't know what unit meant. He didn't know what being on the pinion unit meant. He did explain to us his vision had been a problem. He had lost it since he was much younger. I think he said in his 40s, so that would have been like over 30 years ago. And he said he went to a place to train him for vision loss, but he wasn't able to really verbalize how he was helped. And there was very little that he'd really learned to get by with, you know, with the vision loss. And it was my understanding, was it the fiduciary guardian that said that he really didn't get that much training in this situation where he was supposed to have gotten training a long time ago to navigate the world without vision.
He said that sometimes
he doesn't remember questions. The bottom line is that he said that when he does remember questions, the staff oftentimes say they don't have time to help him. Yeah. And when we talked about him having a one-to-one, he said appropriately, yes, I would like a one-to-one. It would help me remember questions when I have needs, and it would also help him because when staff are too busy, he would have somebody there to help him.
Yeah, and we did ask that sometimes he said that the staff would help guide him, and he needs a lot of help. But the other thing that we observed too, and we asked, he said when they're busy, they would just yell directions, and he was hard of hearing and had cognitive issues. So I'm thinking this is not good. He could not maneuver through a doorway or even a chair if you put it right there. So I thought, how could he possibly be yelled at to go down this way, turn left? I don't think he could do it. So I think his
guardian needed one-to-one. Just like I said, we watched him get one-to-one care to get to us and then out. So go on. I'm sorry, Lori.
Yeah. So we asked when this patient, because the guardian, this guardian and the person before her has asked that he go up before the PSRB, and he's no longer a danger. He's really a quite, happy, calm person. So I did get a follow-up that his presumptive sentence is due to end in 2028, and the next time he's due to go in front of the PSRB is in September 25th, 2020. And we just thought it was a shame because it seems like he needs more like a nursing home than he does to be in a forensic lockup unit. But that was just our opinion.
Well, and my understanding was that they had been trying since he had the last guardian appointed to him. Yep. And I thought she said she had been his guardian for a year or something like that. They've been trying to get him into memory care. And so I think we were also trying to get to the bottom of why he hadn't yet gotten a placement in memory care. Unless you found an answer to that, Lori?
No, I'm trying to remember whether it was the recommendation of his treating physician.
Oh, yes, you got it. That was it. It was the recommendation of the treating physician. You're right. You're right.
That he didn't need to go or something. So we questioned that, and I think the guardian questioned that as well. So I know you guys had another visit, another patient. So do you want to do a report on that at a high level also?
Okay. Dee, did you want to talk about the other patient that we saw?
Sure. Hold on just a second. I'm just trying to get off.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So you guys can hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So there was a patient over on Pinion Unit. He had requested for us to come see him. He had, I'm just going to try to summarize as much as I can, and I know that this patient is actually on the phone waiting to talk to the group anyway. So he had multiple instances to try to substantiate his complaints. He has certain staff members who include an array of people there that he comes in contact with on a regular basis. He feels are mentally, verbally abusive, and that they engage in retaliatory behaviors. They're condescending. They're antagonistic. They use profane language when they talk to him and other patients. He states that one of the mental health techs, you know, acts like he's joking, but then he's using foul language and physically threatening language to speak to him and other patients. So that was a big part of what he had to say. He feels very singled out and targeted and retaliated against, which I think is a common theme we've been hearing over and over again. He says that there are some privacy issues, talking about visits with his mother and some other people, you know, the attorney and stuff like that. And he stated there were three areas that they're supposed to be given privacy by law, which were phone conversations, opening mail, and during visits. And he feels as though some of the staff members are sitting so close during visits that he is unable to have a private conversation, whether it's with his mother or his attorney. They have a new package policy that they're trialing over on his unit that's very much a model that the prison uses, where packages have to be given prior approval before they can be sent to ASH. And so that's evidently causing a lot of problems. And he had something that came to him, I think, right around Christmas or January that a friend had made for him that was very sentimental, was handmade, and somehow it got lost. So he was really upset about that. He talked about searches being very stressful and disrespectful. Stated that there were 8 people that came into his room and went through his things and threw his stuff on the floor, his clothing and property on the dirty floor. And he was being questioned why he had possessions that he'd already had prior approval to have. He also stated that there was some issues with staff watching them urinate, specifically. I don't think it was just specific to him, but at least involved this patient. And he was very upset about that. He stated that it made him feel very uncomfortable and violated. And he also stated that it was not for UA, which, yes, staff is required to be present, but this was going on during the search, and that they had the door open and they were standing there watching him and people were looking as they were going past. And he was very upset about that. There's just a couple more things. I'm trying to go as fast as I can. Sorry. The treatment team evidently doesn't have his paperwork completely correct on his GEI plea agreement and what his violations were. The number of felonies are not correct, he states, and that the social worker is supposed to be making sure the information is correct. They've been there for a lot of years. I don't know specifically how many, and that it's still not, feels it makes him look worse in front of the PSRB when he does go to his hearings. He also mentioned, I guess, something similar to one of the incidents you guys were talking about where, you know, two people, well, I guess he was attacked by another patient. He defended himself, and he ended up getting punished as well as the other patient, which he thought was not right. And I guess there's some issues with his mother's guardianship, and there's a hearing that's going to be taking place that the hospital is, he states, is trying to take away his mother's guardianship. So that was a lot of information. I went through it as quickly as I could.
Okay. Thank you.
And then wasn't there... information from his mother about Dee, about you know, what was happening to her being followed up.
Yeah, he said that one of the visits, she had to go over to a certain building to receive reimbursement for the glucometer that she purchased for her son. And when she left the building after her visit, she stated that security followed her out to the building and then questioned why she was there, even though she had been told to go there to get her reimbursement. This particular patient also, I'm sorry, I left one important thing out, says he feels that he basically doesn't have any hope. He feels he will have a heart attack or end up in prison after some episode where he loses his temper. Mm-hmm. He stated he would be better in prison than here. At least the rules there are consistent and he can protect himself.
Mm. Right.
Yeah. That hopeless theme over and over again.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that, that's kind of almost leads us to another topic of what we're asking for in the legislation, which can try to help with this feeling of retaliation when people file complaints, and also maybe to have some more definitive information on tape to see if there is any goading by staff or others to, instead of de-escalate, escalate patients. So we'll talk about that in the legislation section, but that's always hard to hear. Really is hard to hear.
Yeah.
That's why we'd like more surveillance information. For those that are in town, and if you're available, but I need to let ASH administration know, tomorrow, I sent an email out, but tomorrow at 2 p.m. in the forensic gym, there'll be a forensic forum. I think it's very worthwhile going to. I would go, except I'm on an airplane tomorrow. Otherwise, I would be there. But you'll meet a lot of folks and you'll hear a lot, and they do bring their executive team, and people are pretty upfront about what's not working, what's broken, what's been broken. And I think it helps to have the IOC there as well. So if someone can go, let me know, or just write back to the ASH administration line. And you don't have to have two people for this, because you're going to be with a lot of the executive team along with representatives from each of the units. And the civil patient forum is scheduled for Friday, April 10th at 1, and I will be able to attend that. I'm back in town. So that's just an open invitation.
Okay.
For those.
If I can go, I'll go.
Okay.
If I'm not working, I'll when I get my work schedule, I will let you know. This is Alice.
Okay. That sounds good. So I'm going to skip over the Channel 15 and come back to it. But as far as ASH legislation, I was down today at the Capitol listening to the bills that are going through. From the IOC perspective, we have pushed and asked for improved, and so has the hospital, improved surveillance information so they cover those blind spots. Obviously not in bathrooms and not in your bedroom, but all these blind spots that are all around. And then better audio video with audio, so that way if there's an incident, you can hear what was going on before, after. And I think it will add a lot to the investigations, and it may also make people that may have a tendency to use their power over people that are vulnerable not do that, because they're going to know they're being recorded. So
yeah, there's more accountability.
So and so far today, that legislation has passed through the House Health Committee. And so
okay.
We'll go back over to the Senate. The other thing was more training for de-escalation and reduction of incidents and seclusion and restraints. As you recall from the Auditor General's report, Ash had a number of items to address, and out of, I think, six items, the one thing that they have failed to successfully address is incidents and accidents. So we're asking for money from outside agency that's been proven effective. A lot of hospitals do this. They bring and train the trainers, and I think it helps. And some other issues that I wasn't involved with, but I've heard of them, were some governance board changes. I'm not sure what's going to happen on the governance committee over the state hospital. They are asking that the IOC sit on that as a not official but non-voting member to hear the discussions at the governance level. We'll see. There are also two PSRB bills that I will read over to see what they are, but I think a lot of policy and procedure, and I wasn't really involved in writing of those bills, so there are members in the community that are heavily involved in that. So that's good to know that Ash is getting attention down at the legislature, and it was accepted today with all members of the legislature voting to approve, so we'll see where that goes.
Yay.
The Channel 15 Great. News story that occurred last month about the death on ACPTC, which is that is a different portion of the hospital. It's Community Protection and Treatment Center. It's not part of the licensed hospital, though it is on the grounds, but we do not have oversight over there. And basically, that unit houses sexually violent offenders that are committed to the facility after they've served their sentences in corrections facilities. And they're sent over to ACPTC because their risk is evaluated and they're assessed to be too high risk to reoffend if released into the community. So what occurred was there was a, it was on video, there was a patient that started an incident with another patient, and then the other patient ended up attacking and really killing him. You know, at the point where staff saw it, they called 911, and the patient was taken over to the hospital. And the issue was that the cleaning staff or the nurse cleaned up the scene before the police were there, which is not good, but they thought it was a hazard. But the police are not called on every incident. The hospital did call after they heard from the medical hospital about the passing of the patient. And the police did come and they saw the tape, but they also, the person that did it confessed, and the person is now in DOC. So there was no cover-up per se, though it was a teachable moment for staff to say, you don't clean up a crime scene just because there's blood, right? You, especially if it looks like it's serious. So that's what happened there, and I just wanted you guys to know, because it really wasn't the civil or forensic. It's a whole different unit.
Okay.
And then you'll see there's a series that's airing on Channel 12. The first one aired, I think, yesterday or the day before, and the next one's, I think, airing tonight. And it's a whole series of issues around the systems. So it's not Ash per se. I think they mention Ash in it, some of the interviews that I heard on the news, that we don't have enough beds in the civil side for Maricopa, which I agree. We only have 55 beds for a county that's probably close to 4 million people, right? Or almost 5 million people. That's kind of ridiculous, but that's based, it's not by choice. It's based on the Arnold B. Sarin lawsuit. So that has to be legally negotiated to increase any beds. So that's it for my legislative update. And the next piece of news I have is sad news. Rebecca Casper had to resign due to health concerns coming out of her pregnancy. So we're really sad to lose her. I hope that if she's when she feels better, she would be able to rejoin us in the interim. If you guys know anyone that is interested in joining, I'll try to reach out to other psychologists because, you know, we lost Ross. Hopefully he got his internship at Ash. It would be a waste if he quit and then he didn't get it, but I haven't heard.
Right.
But yeah, that'd be a bummer. But so that's what we know. Rebecca's no longer going to be joining us. So anything else before we open it up to public comment? Anything that we'd like to hear or new business for the next meeting?
Not at this time. I don't have anything.
I just had one quick thing. This is Dee, sorry. This was kind of a random thought. I brought it up maybe over around Christmas, and we never got around to actually discussing it. But I did get in touch with somebody, a service that provides service animals to come to places like the hospital. They don't charge anything for it, and I gave them kind of the summary of where they would be going and, you know, the situation under which they would take the dogs there. And they said that is no problem. And if you'd like to just think about that between now and whenever we speak again, as to whether or not they think that's a good idea. But what I've heard is they did have a service dog in there before that the patients were really enjoying. And mm-hmm. for some reason, they haven't been there in about 6 months or so.
Well, that's great. I mean, I could follow up if I hear a motion. We could follow up with the executive team asking if the rehab department is open to this new service, and then you could get that information.
I'd be happy to provide that for them. They were pretty quick to respond, and they were very agreeable to, you know, going to the state hospital and, you know, and whenever we needed them to. And I asked if what they charged for it, and they said, no, it's free. If anybody wants to make a donation, that's great. But otherwise, so they don't charge for it.
Well, I think it's a great idea. I would motion that's something we'd like to look into. Anything that can, I think, you know, they've shown stories before where animals, even in prisons, help people. Give people purpose and they help them recover. I think it'd be great if they could have it frequently, have the dogs visit the hospital.
Okay. Yeah, I second that. I'll second it.
Okay.
Thank
All
you.
In favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Okay. So now we're ready for public comment. Would anyone like to speak?
Hi, my name is Isaac Contreras.
Do you want your name in the notes?
Yes, I want my name, Isaac Contreras, ISAAC, and my last name is Contreras, ContreraS. I would like to discuss, there's some videos that somebody uploaded to YouTube about me being assaulted by staff. Someone got my DVD and uploaded these videos under Arizona State Hospital, along with other files, as well as I was put in isolation for 13 and a half months. And they can't give me an answer as to why was I in isolation 13 and a half months. At the same time, I was tied up for 15 plus hours and passed out, and it shows in the video. And I still lost the grievance, and I'm going through appeals. So these are just questions that how could the hospital say it's giving treatment and putting somebody in a room and covering up the windows for 13 and a half months? What kind of treatment is that? That's the way you treat an animal, and then they expect you to come out normal? I mean, I'm sorry, but there's videos right now that that they put on YouTube, and I know they put a bunch of supporters, actually, you know, people that work here at the Arizona State Hospital, supporters that actually couldn't believe the things they, you know, that goes on in here. So it's under Arizona State Hospital, and there you'll see the one where there's certain protocols where a staff member is supposed to not push you or even put hands on you. He's supposed to either do a proper takedown or a proper hold. Now, this certain individual broke my back. I got trial. I'm going to trial. I'm taking this to trial. And basically, what I'm trying to say is I don't understand. I would like to know why I was in isolation for 13 and a half months. I would like to know in the policy and the guidelines, why was I tied up for 15 plus hours, and why would they not show me the video, or why would they not release the video? Because they're saying that they had every right to keep me tied up.
I can't answer that.
Yeah, I know. I can't. We can't answer direct, but we hear you, and I mean, this is why we want better surveillance. When we hear of incidents, I can just say thank you for that. We can't answer you directly.
Okay, and if you guys could also put it on record, it's under Arizona State Hospital. I know they uploaded videos and documents pertaining to my situation, and these documents and videos came from security and staff members who actually had a conscience. So it's their own hospital who has provided me with these stuff, or my sister. But thank you very much.
Thank you, Isaac.
Thank you.
All right, very good.
Thank you.
That's from the Saguaro unit. And my name is Timothy Larson, and I have a few things I'd like to comment on. It was brought to my attention that we cannot call a manager or a supervisor from the operator. When we ask the operator to call the current manager or the supervisor for the unit, they say no now, and this is something that's changed in policy. And that's our only course of action when we have a problem with a nurse. I'm actually new here, and my expectations are of disappointment. This place is too punitive. So what I consider punishment here is actually just being neglected, either through our own therapeutic devices or interactive, I guess you could say it's entertainment, but just stimulus. And right now we're limited to just TV. And very limited computer time when it's year 2020. Very disappointed. I had learned that there was personal DVD and media players that were taken from them. So they were approved at some point where people weren't forced to watch the same TV show or the sports channel or the loud TV in the day room. Battery devices are getting more and more cracked down, even though it's, you know, one patient being silly and trying to consume them, and then you punish the whole unit as if they are the ones that are trying to swallow things. I mean, that is too punitive. And then finally, the last thing is that the techs here need to be held more accountable with patience and compassion. These should be similar to like a summer camp or a group home, you know, guidance counselors. These people are here to help us, guide us, and be, you know, something we can rely on. So I've seen a lot of sadistic behavior. I've seen behavior that treats different patients differently, like they, you know, don't like a certain patient, so they give them more trouble. So we need to hold them more accountable. And I heard my last mention is there was animals that were here 6 months ago, and now they don't do animals, and it's free. I think that's a wonderful idea, and I'm thrilled to hear that. I didn't even have to bring it up, and it was already in the minute. So well done.
Thank you.
Thank you, Terry.
Yeah, do you want your name in the minutes, Timothy?
Yeah, Timothy Larson, you can put me in the minutes. I do have another thing that the Saguaro unit itself has no patio, so there's less air and sun for all the people that are staying here, including the temporary RTC patients, which I am. So the patio situation should be fixed. That's like a huge, you know, just discrepancy compared to the other units. So do you need to say something, Isaac?
Yeah. Excuse me. I'm sorry. This is Isaac Contreras again. And I just have another question, or I just have a comment. I've been on ROU for 3.5 years. I'm not allowed to go on pop runs. I'm not allowed to go outside. When they do fire drills, I have to remain in the building. They won't even allow me to go outside during fire drills. Now, I asked them the question as to why, and they say because my treatment team doesn't think that it's right for me to go out there. Now, they take their files, and I put in grievances. They take their files out there, and yet they leave me in the back room while they're pulling out their precious files. At the same time, I've been ROU for 3.5 years, and they can't, I mean, there's even other patients that are more violent, that have bigger issues, that go out there, and I mean, they just what it is they're picking on me. I mean, and my name, like I said, my name is Isaac Contreras. The hospital is picking on me just because of the civil suit that I'm going towards them. And I don't feel that it's right that I should be, that they retaliate on me. Like Edward Gray, he was a staff member that worked here. He put me in a chokehold. Now, if you go back and read the incident reports, it will show that I got them as well, that he was told many times to move away from me. He didn't listen. He leaped, and he put me in a chokehold. And at that point, my life was at risk, and nothing was done at the hospital. I won that with the grievances, with access, but he was still left here, and he assaulted another patient. So how are we supposed to feel safe here when, yeah, these people expect us also to follow the rules, but they don't follow them themselves?
Thank you, Isaac. I mean, it is troubling, and thank you for putting it on record.
Yeah.
Do we have any other members that would like to speak from the public?
My name is John Morris Wallace. I'm on the SAGO unit at the Arizona State Hospital. You can use my name in a minute.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
I'd just like to comment briefly. I sent you all a grievance, and you discussed it last month. I can't hear very well on this phone, but since I can, I wanted to clarify it for you all. I did hear distinctly someone said the term med-seeking. I came to the Arizona State Hospital in 2005. I was diagnosed with osteoarthritis throughout my neck and spine, my left shoulder and left ankle in the mid-1980s. I managed to keep the disease in check until I came to this hospital. My attempts to obtain the nutritional support and the hydrotherapy that I need to keep the disease in check were met with derision, manufactured into mental health issues, described as bizarre, when the things I am asking for are recommended by rheumatologists and general practitioners. The earliest references I've found are in a book written in the 1930s. There's nothing bizarre of what I'm asking for, and it seemed that no one on the committee understood the benefit of warm water in managing the inflammation and pain and limited motility from the damaged injuries and scar tissue. I thought some of you were medical service providers. I was astounded by the I don't know, frivolity that I heard among the committee members. I've beseech you all to help me, or I am going to be in a wheelchair in not too distant future. The prognosis for all of my medical problems is grim. I wasn't given any hope in the 1980s. I was told I'd be dead in 10 years. Well, doctors don't know everything. I also wanted to comment on the fact that in 2014, I had a terrible rash all over my body. And my health, physical health, has declined steadily since. I'm now quite weak. I cannot do much physical activity. It's too painful to move. And if I exert myself too much, I get pounding headaches and nausea. And no one here at this hospital has made any effort to find out what's going on. You know, I have helped many people here come to terms with the fact that evolution has instilled in the human psyche a negative bias toward anyone labeled with a mental defect. That prejudice is very pronounced in just about everybody I've encountered since I was labeled as mentally ill. I'm hoping that all of you will do as I did, look within and recognize that bias and come to terms with it and learn to treat people as individuals. Briefly also, it is a fact that violent patients have been allowed to run about unrestrained at this hospital, and many people have been injured, and too many people have died as a consequence of prejudice and indifference that are common factors of the culture among the staff and patients here at this facility. I'm trying to help everyone address the culture that is causing so many complaints and grievances and injuries and deaths at this facility. I beg you all to listen and help me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
John.
Thank you,
John. Okay. Well, anyone else with any other public comments?
Oh, hey, my name is James Norton, and you can go ahead and put me in the minutes.
I'm sorry, James, can you repeat your last name?
Norton, N-O-R-T-O-N.
Okay, thank you so much.
I put in an application for being a part of the IOC. And I have not heard back or received any letter back from the to whether it's been accepted or not. So I'm just hoping that you guys will be able to send me a letter of that soon, whether I can accept it or not. And we have been having some issues with a certain nurse on our unit, a couple of certain nurses on this unit. Their names are Christy. Okay.
I think that.
And
I mean, if.
The PNSS and the PNUM.
Okay. The PNSS and the PNUM.
Per Sego.
One of them going through our contraband bins and our mail without patients being present as per what's required both by in policy and by law. And they've also been going through our hygiene bins without our presence
or knowing.
So that's a big issue. They are making rules here that A, don't make sense. B, they're considered, I consider them too harsh, retaliatory, abuse of power and abuse of license, because they think that they're because she's the PNSS, or because there's a peanut, or she's the peanut, that she has the authority to enforce rules that go above and beyond what law states, as well as what the policy is. They make up policies and implement them and say, oh yeah, it's administration. But when we go to administration, they say, oh no, we've never said that to anybody. So these are the types of things that are going on in this unit, and we have to be here 24/7 on a very small unit and we have to deal with that with staff which should know better, and it's considered unethical job of ethics, because of all that, and so yeah. I'm done.
Thank you. Mr. Wallace.
Hi, this is Jill Manahan, still here on Zego.
Hi, Jill.
Can I put your name in the minutes, Jill?
Sure, why not?
Okay, you don't have to. It's up to you completely.
Yeah, I don't care. Yeah, it's fine. Okay, so, I'm so afraid of retaliation. I don't know what to do anymore if that, I'm serious,
we don't have to put your name in the minutes.
Okay, let's not.
Okay, I can put anonymous.
Thank you. I wanted to start on a positive note. I'm very excited about the legislation that is happening. It's been a long time coming. I'm also very pleased about the IOC committee. Thank you, Lori. And all the members. It's a very, very important oversight for the forensic patients. In fact, I'm not SMI, so you're it for me. We finally got shade on the unit, which after 8 years.
You did.
It's a miracle, yeah. I don't know why it took 8 years, but hey, we have shade on the patio, so that is a positive. They also put some turf out on the mall with actually a shade over it. That's been really good. They've also gotten a woman stylist. So I finally was able to get my hair cut. So those are some positive things. Just listening to all this, and I've been here 11 years going in July, which is quite horrific in itself. I just wanted to reiterate, all I can say and speak for is on the SEGO unit, there's so much retaliation, and the treatment team is so punitive. I have never experienced something like this. I've been here, like I said, a long time. Actually, for a PSRB hearing, we actually put on paper, I've had 23 different doctors since 2008. That's ridiculous. About 12 different diagnoses, too. And I can validate that when you do move, I was moved four times in a year out of retaliation, and it's traumatizing. You do start over with a new, which I do not understand. There's no, is it continuity of care? Is that the right word? Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. The continuity of care is zero. I mean, I don't understand, you know, why you can't go to another unit and just pick up where you left off, but they don't do that. And that's why, you know, I lose years here because of that. Years. Mm-hmm. And the problem on SAGO is with the nursing. The nursing is saying they're abusing their power by, like, they've taken the woman's makeup now and put it behind the nurse's station and forcing me to put it on in front of them. I've been here 11 years, never had to do that. They have personally said it's because of me. And so then they also tell the more vulnerable patients, they won't dare tell me this, but they tell them, you know, to get their makeup or to get whatever they want them to do, you know, including other things. They'll say, oh, it's policy. When I know that everyone has to sign off on policy, and including the governing board. So, you know, it really, really bothers me that they use that to more vulnerable people as a way to coerce them into getting what they want them to do. It is so prevalent on this unit, and I hear it from staff. You know, they've never seen anything like this. And they also have never seen a treatment team like this. It's been so punitive. I've been on 1-5 for 3 months. You know, I had level 4. Been on SAGO going on 3 years. And they'll say, you know, you just need to do this, and I do that, and then they just move the carrot. So, but one thing that they're doing, when new people come in, and which I understand we got a new chief nursing officer, Nancy Regan, she's from Banner Health. They're, you know, whenever they, it's been a pattern, whenever they go to change policy, they're too lazy to do the forensic policy that is different than civil policy. The civil patients are court ordered. We are not. We are a totally different population. And they recognize that, but then they don't, because they want to make it easy on the entire hospital to have one policy for forensic and civil. Which, you know, civil can't have conditioner, you know, and then we can't have conditioner. You know, and then when what happens with the policy change, too, is they do, and they tell the staff this, you know, this is because, so it's across the board. But that's another way to say, because it's easy, because they do not have core staff here. In fact, tonight on SAGO, we do not have one core staff. Not one. So, case in point, when they want to make it easy on the concentric people, on the people who are not regular members of the hospital, who aren't familiar, who just go to unit, they want it to be uniform across the board because of their lack of staff. And that's all I'm going to say right now.
Thank you, Jill.
And also, I would like an investigation into this makeup thing. It is just really beyond belief. And my makeup is my number one coping skill. It's on my de-escalation plan, my nursing de-escalation plan. And it is humiliating and it is very degrading to have to put my makeup on in front of people.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Do we have anyone else that would like to speak?
Yes. My name is Gracie Verduzco, G-R-A-C-I-E. C is in three, E-R-G-Z-C-O. Can you hear me?
There was a little echo. Natalie, did you get that spelling?
Yeah, I got it. You want me to, I'll put your name in the notes then?
Yes, please. I've been here 19 years, and my time is up in July. They're trying to keep me until December, and then they want to civilly commit me when I am not a danger to anybody. I've been here 19 years, and I have never had a cold caught on me. Never. And that's miraculous in itself. And I got an appeal in. I went to the board in June, and they denied me a conditional or unconditional release, and I put the appeal in the very next week. It's been 8 months since I've heard anything. I can't get a hold of my lawyer. She's on the hospital side. They have to prove that I'm a danger to anybody to civilly commit me. I got 19 years for my crimes. I've done 19 years in July. I want them to let me out.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Grace, and I wish you well.
One other thing. I've been raped and sodomized here in the hospital with three men that I know of that still work here, and one of them's retired. Those are the four men that I accused of raping and sodomizing me, and they do nothing here. These men are criminals. They belong in prison. That's all.
Okay. Thank you. Do we have anyone else that would like to public comment?
Hi, this is Timothy Briesco on Sycamore.
Hello? Hi, Timothy. Can
you put your name in the notes?
Yes, please.
Thank you.
Like Ms. Manahan was saying, I kind of don't want my name in the notes, but I want them to know I'm the one who stuck it to them when they have to answer to the higher ups. You guys were saying, there is punitive, they are so punitive with me, when things are across the board, ROUs and punishments, it's never across the board with me. It's, let's see how hard we can hit him. Thank you very much for, letting everybody know, what I had said to you. I really appreciate it. It's still very punitive here on Sycamore with me. And I thank you guys for everything you've done. Staff, they are very retaliatory, if I said that proper, sorry. And punitive with certain people. There's been a number of patients on this forensic side. I'm trying to get a note from each one of them stating what staff told them, and that was that I was a bad seed, stay away from me, he's only going to get you in trouble. And this isn't just one or two people, it's about six or seven. I'm trying to get a note for the court when my guardian and I attend court four things that the house has done to me. But it's not getting any easier. But I sure hope on seeing you tomorrow. And thank you very much for everything you guys do. Have a good night.
Thank you, Timothy. Do we have anyone else from the public?
My name is Nick Oakes with Mojave, and you can, my Mojave unit, and you can put me in the notes. I just don't want to take away from the very serious other things that matters that have been brought up, but I want to stay on the positive that getting people to have full malls is very important, and the matters with unit managers making up rules that are not hospital-wide but unit-wide needs attention. And I want to appreciate that if we get pet therapy here, it hasn't been, I haven't seen a pet or service animal for the year and a half I've been here. And also another a big item, they've gotten shade in the turf. If there we could put a swimming pool in, I know it'd be a big ordeal, but it would be very useful to a lot of people. And at least getting people the full mall privilege and be able to use the pool. I know Civil and CRU has it. And they said that would be something really good to have therapeutic. And also I want to end on just a quick question. Is the forum tomorrow limited to 2 patients per unit?
I can't respond to questions.
Okay.
Yes.
But someone did, so thank you.
Okay, that's good then.
Okay, do we have anyone else that would like to comment?
John Wallace with one more quick comment, please.
Mm-hmm.
In support of my peers, especially Ms. I won't say any names, but I came here in 2005. My diagnosis has been changed many times as I've been shuffled about from treatment team to treatment team, unit to unit. The hospital staff routinely take the easiest path for them. I am asked again and again to deprive myself of things, even ice water in the summertime. I couldn't get it because it was an inconvenience for the staff. We need help here. We need independent oversight from the committee. Recording conversations, yes, the staff especially, and I have been asking that my interactions with psychiatrists be recorded since the first time I met one in the RTC process, and we need that.
We need that.
It is not expensive. Mm-hmm. Memory storage is inexpensive. The technology is very available. Please help us. I'm done.
Thank you. Okay, do we have anyone else? Okay, if not, we have run over our time.
One thing, please. Could you guys get the agenda to Jackie Batchelor more than 24 hours before the meeting? Because she gave me the sheet today. And, the meeting's today, so I didn't have very, very much time to get what I needed to say put down on paper. So if you guys could possibly give her at least 3-4 days ahead of time so she could get it to us in a timely fashion. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. I'll make sure that Jackie is aware when it's posted because we usually have it by the Monday prior to the meeting. Oh, and I'm not answering you back. My bad. Sorry about that. Okay. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
I'll motion to adjourn. Okay.
Oh. Okay. And do we have a second?
Alice, motion to adjourn.
Okay. And a second? I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. I will see you guys next month, and I think we'll, if you want visits from the IOC, anyone, make sure that you request them. Hopefully someone will be able to attend the forum tomorrow. I will be checking up on some of these items. Thank you, everyone. I value
Great.
Your time.
Thanks so much.
And thank you for joining. Thanks. Have a great evening.
Good night.
Bye.